Hello, I'm Migdalia Vanderhoof, and welcome to another episode of Sticks and Thrones. And Thrones is part of the Women in Jazz Media series of podcasts. Today I have the honor to welcome our amazing guest, Abby Finn. Abby is a drummer from the northeast of England who has over 17 years playing experience. She's currently based in Brandon, County Durham, and her current projects are the Abby Finn Trio and the Fintet, featuring Graham Hardy, Harry Keeble, and Dean Stockdale and Paul Granger. Hi, Abby. Welcome. How are you today? Thanks so much for joining us for this episode.
Yeah, hi. Hello, everyone. Yeah, I'm pretty good. Thank you.
Amazing. So, so tell us a bit about yourself. What or who inspired you to pick up the drums?
I think I always just thought the drums were a really cool instrument, and I think you'll agree. I don't know, there's just something special about them. It was kind of the instrument that if ever I was listening to music or parents had music on at home, I would be drawn to the drums. I just think there's just something about them. I can't explain it. It's just the percussive physical quality of it, isn't it? I think, I don't know who it was initially that inspired me, but my parents used to listen to a lot of rock music. So, I mean, people like Rush, I mean, Neil Peart, this comes to mind. He's obviously amazing in the drum
legend
world.
Yeah.
And as well, I think when you're younger as well and you see a drum kit like his, it's just pretty cool.
It's crazy, right? Yeah, the funny thing is that
he can play.
the funny thing is that you dream about it, having a drum kit like that, but then you start gigging and you're like, nope. You know,
my kit is tiny. I don't even have a medium tom.
Yeah, no,
that's how not like Neil Peart's kit my is.
exactly. No, I can relate. You know, yeah. I'm like, yeah, 18
cymbals, that's it.
done. I mean, yeah, it was like that. I remember at school, like, drawing like this massive thing, and you know, the DW drums, like their website back in the 2000s, you could design your own drum kit. I think they still do it, and then you could print it and stuff. And mine would have like absolutely everything, like rod toms and stuff. And now it's like, yeah, I have a gig somewhere. Do they have a kit? No. Okay, what can I take that actually will make? I'm like,
it's funny that you mentioned about the DW site, actually, because I've never had a DW drum kit, but I think that was always a one that I really wanted. It was too expensive for me to have one of them, but like you say, they used to have all the exciting things on the website.
Oh, they're gorgeous. I love them, but yeah, they're too expensive, and I think like other brands, you know, like really sound the same or even better, you know, like at more affordable prices.
No, for sure. I mean, I ended up getting a kit from a local person in the northeast who makes them literally about 5 miles from my parents' house. So
nice.
It was pretty, I mean, really lucky to have them around the corner.
And it's makes such a massive difference to have an access, you know, to the instrument, to practice and all of that. So
sure.
I would say that your parents' good taste of music inspire you to pick up the drums then.
I think so, yeah. I mean, so it was people like Rush, Genesis, and even people like Kiss. I used to always love watching their shows, you know, seeing them fly in. I just thought it was really cool.
Oh, amazing.
I mean, I went down the jazz route, and I'm not going to fly in, you know, anytime soon, but
nope.
I always thought that was great.
Well, who knows, you know, at this point, you know, like a lot of things can happen, you know, but yeah. why did you go for the jazz route, you know, like who do you listen to, like, you know, what are your influences?
So initially I think I went down the jazz route. So when I was learning, I learned through a local music service, and they had sort of lots of different ensembles, so I would be part of the brass band, the orchestras, and sort of more like wind band groups and
Nice.
things like that, which I really enjoyed, and it sort of really helped my reading as well. And just being part of a group and playing with lots of other people was really fun. And then I ended up playing with the big band, so that was great, and that kind of opened the door to the jazz world for me. Definitely people like Gordon Goodwin. I mean, I know a lot of people, it's either like, I feel like it's Marmite with people, whether they like the Big Fat Band, but I just don't see what's not to like. I just think they're
Yeah.
great. Gordon Goodwin's such an amazing composer. I got to see them live in Manchester one time, which was really, really
Nice.
fun. And it was definitely playing their music that started it. But I mean, back then when I was about sort of 15, I wasn't into doing the swing stuff. I would always give that to someone else, and I would do the rock tunes like Jazz Police and things like
Right,
that. I just felt
nice.
more comfortable doing that at that time. But then I ended up really liking the swing stuff. I wouldn't say it was like I'm not against straight eight things now, because I love all that. But there's something really good about swing stuff, and I think all of that big band, all the big band tunes really kind of grabbed me early on, and it was kind of the challenge of playing it. I mean, obviously there's a lot of rock music that's really difficult. I mean, obviously like Rush stuff, but a lot of it you can just sit back, on a set groove, and make it sound good. But I think the challenge of the jazz changing all the time, was really good. So I started doing the whole big band thing, and then it was only really when I got to uni that I was doing the small groups. I'd hardly done any of that before I got there, really. So that's kind of, yeah, how it started, really.
Nice. Yeah, I'm not against like swing or the standards. I actually love them. And every time that I have a gig, because we play fusion and sort of like West Coast style, I always end up smacking one of them, one standard in there, and everybody's like, why? It doesn't even fit. I'm like, it just feels so good, like I'm like, yeah, no,
Yeah, listening to
we're playing Invitation, yeah, we're playing it, and it's so so different to everything else that we're playing at the moment, but people actually respond really well, and
Yeah.
I'm like, it's my quartet, like I am adding that in, okay, fine.
Yeah, there's something great about sitting back and just swinging on a tune. It's just feels good, doesn't it?
Yeah, of course, and especially if you have a very nice cymbal, and I really love my cymbals, and yeah, like they just feel, so velvety, like I don't know.
Definitely. That was another thing. I used to be dead against cymbals with rivets. I used to hate them. If someone brought a riveted ride to a jazz club that I was at, I would think, oh, why have you got that? It's horrible. It sounds awful. But my drum teacher at college, he used to use a 21-inch Mel Lewis ride with rivets, and I don't know. I thought, oh wow, this is like not like any riveted ride I've ever heard before. And I had to get one that like a couple of months later, and I've pretty much had it on every gig ever since. I absolutely love
Nice.
it.
Nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I heard some of your songs, your tunes from well, the videos that you have online. It's amazing, lovely sound, and the
Oh, thank
everything,
you.
about it, really, really good. So, yeah, talk to us about that, like your new album. Where can we find you? Like, what gigs are you having like coming soon?
Yeah, I mean, I'm not quite sure when this is coming out. I mean, I guess when this comes out, I'll have had this gig, but I'm actually on a gig tonight over in Sheffield.
Ah, nice.
But yeah, that'll have been out by then. Yeah, I've got a few brand new album gigs coming up. So we're over in Saltburn. We do a lot at the Forum in Darlington. There's quite a fair few kind of ones dotted around coming up for the new album launch. The new album's called On Pink Lane, so it's kind of all about this street in Newcastle that used to house the old jazz cafe. That's where we did our album launch a few weeks ago as well, over at the Prohibition that used to be the jazz cafe. So it's kind of had a little bit of a switch around, but it's all based around this street and Pink Lane. So yeah, I'm very excited about the new album. So that's with the trio with Harry Keble and Paul Granger, and that's the full second full album that we've had out. But we did release an album in between that, which was a live one from the Newcastle Jazz Festival. So yeah, that's they're all available on Bandcamp. You can get like a physical CD as well if you're into that, or sort of downloads as well. So there's a couple of things available
Oh,
there,
amazing.
yeah.
Amazing, amazing. Yeah, we had actually we shared a gig, isn't it? Like in the summer, and that's where I heard about you. And
At Woolwich.
yes. But the funny thing, and I didn't tell you, I think that when you went there first, I think you had the first date on the Saturday before, and then I went on the Saturday after. And I set up the kid. And it was just tuned perfectly, you know. And I'm like, oh, thanks, man. Thank you so much. It sounded great, man. So
That's good.
I appreciate that. Thanks. And I did ask, like, you know, like, has anyone used it in between? Because I was just curious because it was like the perfect sound. They were
That's
like, no,
good.
yeah. So, no. That's where I heard about you. And then, obviously through Women in Jazz Media, and you know, now I had the chance to listen to a few tunes from the album. So yeah, no, well done, well done.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, I mean, to be fair, that was quite a good kit, wasn't it? You know, it was one of those gigs where you say, "Oh, do you happen to have a kit, you know, on the off chance so you don't have to trek one through London?" And yeah, no, it was a great kit.
Yeah, it was good. It was good,
Quite
isn't it?
a good little gig
You
that. Yeah, nice little outdoor courtyard thing going.
Yes. Oh, it was so, the weather was perfect for my gig as well, and it
Yeah,
was so
same.
chill. Yeah,
Yeah,
hopefully
that was
we'll do
enjoyable.
it again next year. But yeah, it was just so well. I'm gonna say it was far, and I live in London, so you know, like it was even
Yeah.
it was yeah.
Yeah, it was a bit of a trek for us, but no, it was good. It was nice to have a little wander around London as well.
Yeah, of course, of course. Who's your favorite drummer? I know it's a typical question, and also one hard to answer, but
It's a very hard question, isn't it? I can name a few. I will name a few, but I do find it difficult to, I can't like pinpoint one person. I mean, one of the huge influences as well, and one of my favorite drummers, but it's gonna sound really cheesy, but it's true. It's my drum teacher, from uni, so Sebastian de Crom, who's like an insanely good drummer. Just even it's like I'm not trying to copy him or anything, but he's like the one who had that insane Mel Lewis ride, and I just thought, oh, I love his sound, and he just really swings. You know, he's absolutely amazing. So I really like him. I did a lot of sort of work on Max Roach as well. I'm not too sure about his general playing, but his soloing really grabs me. I love his soloing ideas and things. People, I mean, going back to the Big Fat Band, Bernie Dressel's great. Mel Lewis, you know, people like that. Obviously, I've got his ride, so I'm gonna like him.
Yes.
Tony Williams, P Peter
Yeah.
Erskine, you know, I mean, there's just so many people.
Yeah, of
It's
course.
so hard to like pinpoint one. I mean, Max Roach has been really influential, so maybe I'll go with him.
Oh, nice. So this is a funny story. I had a gig. I think it was at Toulouse-Lautrec, and somebody took a video, and then I posted it, and it was a nice solo. So my husband comes in and says, "Oh, you know that you look like Mac Mark Mike Mac Roach and Max Roach." I don't know what. And I'm like, "Oh, thank you. Like you just look like him, you know, because I was like the whole posture and." You, I didn't say you sound like him. I'm like, oh, come
No.
on. Like, I'm
There's a
kidding.
way. Do you know there's like a park in London named after him?
Is it? Oh, no, I didn't know.
Yeah, not many people know this, and I can't remember exactly why it's there, 'cause he's not English, is he?
Right.
But yeah, there's a Max Roach Park somewhere in London. So he must have made some sort of impression
Yeah.
when he was over at one point. That's pretty cool.
It's funny that, you know, like there is obviously, you know, a big following. I mean, I did study in the States, so you know, it's massive everywhere. Like, you know, like people just talk and throw names at you. I'm from Mexico, so like we just get a very, I mean, we have a community, jazz community and stuff, but it's very small. So like it was a shock to me when I went to the States, but like it is massive. But then here in England, it is as well, you know, and lots of people, you know, not just the scene here and artists from here, but also like in the States. And, you know, they're so, to me, like so familiar, you know, that I wouldn't be able to, you know, differentiate, you know, like from people talking in the States to the people talking here in the UK about, you know, jazz over there, you know, which is really cool. So I'm not
Yeah.
surprised that, you know, there is a park, you know, after him, named after him.
Yeah.
Okay, so do you have a memorable gig, either it went really bad or really well?
I mean, I'm trying to think of one, but there's like one that's right at the front of my mind, and I'm just gonna go with it. So we played the Manchester Jazz Festival last year. I think it was, yeah, no, it was last year. You know, time's flying.
Yeah,
And
yeah.
it was a really great gig, and I was so pleased to get it. But it was the hottest gig I've ever played. We were outside in the plant room, as they called it, which was essentially a huge greenhouse. That's the best way I can put it. So
Right.
there was a bar. It was actually really big, absolutely lovely, lots of plants everywhere, but in the middle of the summer, and I don't even know how hot it was. I mean, there was literally sweat dripping into the eyes of our bass player, and he had to stop at points. It was just so hot.
Oh man, I mean, a greenhouse in the summer, I mean,
I
really.
know it was a minging gig, but it was a really good gig.
Nice. No, that's good.
So it was a yes, that was a very interesting one. But I think I was having this conversation with my partner Harry. So, well, yeah, Harry, the sax player, is my partner as well. I should have said that.
Okay.
He thinks that playing in the cold is worse, but I can't work it out because obviously, if you're playing in the cold, your hands are absolutely freezing. But if you're in the heat, it's just
Yeah,
unbearable.
no, it
He
is.
said he always tells me about this concert he had with one of his bands at school where it was actually snowing outside and they had to call it off because everyone was so cold.
Yeah, well, how can you play? You know, like your whole body just goes numb, you know, like we had
Yeah.
with the show, we were in Liverpool for a month and it was when it really snowed. And then obviously, you know, because that happened everywhere I gigged, the heater, the heating system would just crash, you know, like it was not working. So I think on stage it was like 0 degrees. Even with all
Oh
the warming up,
no.
yeah, even with all the warming up in the world, you know, I couldn't feel my feet. So I'm like, here we
That's
go, you know.
unbelievable.
Yeah, muscle memory.
I think at
Yeah.
that point, like, things should be called off because it's just so
Exactly.
cold. I mean, extreme
Exactly.
weather gigs are not fun.
Yeah, no. And you know, like everything, like I think I made, and you might have gone through this, you know, the horrible mistake of like confusing the snare with my thumb. And I hit the nail in my thumb, you know, with the tip of the stick.
Yeah,
Like that
just
one.
in the way a little bit, yeah.
Yeah. Oh man, I hated myself for the next 5 minutes, you know, but it did happen.
Yeah,
So
no,
yeah.
that's happened to me. I think, to be honest, on outdoor gigs, yeah.
Yeah. So it's funny, because I think we have a lot of in common because my husband is the sax player in my quartet.
Oh, no way.
Yeah, so yeah, you said that your partner doesn't play sax. Do you play together? Is it, oh,
Oh
is it
yeah.
Harry?
So
Okay.
he's in the trio and the you know I play in his quartet. He's in the fintet as well. So yeah.
Amazing, amazing. Yeah, well, I do the same. Yeah, it is the same situation and setup here with us. I hope I pronounce his surname properly. You know, I read them and I'm like, oh yeah, I got them. And then right now that I was introducing you again, I'm like, well, okay, I have no clue, but here we go.
I
Keeble.
think you did, yeah, Harry
Okay.
Keeble. To be
Okay, good.
fair though, you wouldn't be the first person. He's had everything. We were on a gig at uni and it got printed as Harry Cable, even though I sent all the names. I'm like, how can you just copy and paste and how can you get it wrong?
Oh,
Yeah, it's always
it's
him that
not,
gets it wrong.
it's straightforward, you know, definitely more straightforward than my name, but yeah, sometimes, yeah. Like right now that we're in Plymouth. Everybody corrects me, even though I say Plymouth, you know, but I'm like, be thankful that I'm not saying Plymouth, okay? So,
Plymouth, yeah, no, I Plymouth. I think it's Plymouth, isn't
yeah, it
it?
is Plymouth, but yeah, I said Plymouth, and they just repeat it after me, and I'm like, oh man, I promise I'm saying it. I'm trying my best, okay?
It was that reminds me of when we were in Manchester actually for the festival, and Harry's brother and wife live there. I think it's in Hume, but it's spelt HULME, Holm. So I was like asking everyone where Holm was, and they were all just looking at me as if to say, "What are you talking about? Hume or something?" I think it's
Oh
Hume. I still
man,
don't know.
that's confusing, man. I mean, once it becomes
Yeah.
confusing for Brits, then we're pretty much like helpless,
Yeah.
do you play anything else other than jazz? Do you have any other gigs,
At the moment, no, but I have done theatre stuff. I do play other instruments as well, but I tend just to do that for the crack. I don't usually gig them either.
Yeah, amazing. Yeah, exactly the same situation. I'm
Yes.
like, I play guitar, I play bass, but never call me, please.
Yeah, it's just,
I
yeah.
rather stick, to the instrument I like. And like you said, there's nothing cooler than a drum kit. So why would I, pick something? No, just kidding. I'm gonna
Yeah, I have
open
done
a drawer.
like, yeah, I've done like big band and sort of orchestral gigs with trumpet before, but it's not the same as drums.
Yeah, no. It's definitely
Yeah.
like, even though, it is not a melodic instrument, it is sort of very unlimited. Like, it's not like other instruments where you just have to restrain, for a few things, or there's, much you can do. This one is just so open, and it can,
Exactly.
yeah, it's yeah, it's amazing. So I agree with you. Not only cool, but also amazing. So this question, obviously, it will bring a lot of answers as well to it, because I think everybody has been through that. So what have been your challenges as a female artist, especially as a female drummer?
I'll try to keep it short.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I'll just have a drink of water
Yeah.
before we start.
Go for it.
No, it's, yeah, I think it's not like the big things, it's just like the little things that add up all the time that frustrate you. Whether it's, I don't know, I always tell people this one, but I'll, yeah, I think, how do I say? So when I was studying at Leeds, I did a jam session somewhere. I can't remember where it was, to be honest with you. But I got up and had a play. No one sort of really knew me apart from whoever I was with at the time. And then when I got off the kit, someone came up to me and said, "Oh, that was really great. You know, really enjoyed that." So I was like, "Oh, thank you." And they said, "Oh, I thought you were going to be, because you were a woman." I don't know if this is
Yeah.
going out if I can swear, but obviously, yeah. I thought you were gonna
Sorry.
be because you're a woman. And I was like, okay, that's nice. You didn't need to say that, but thank
Yeah.
you.
Yeah,
So they
exactly.
always have that. I think it's just always that preconception of a lot of people that when you get on the kit, you're gonna be rubbish because you're a woman, and it's so frustrating to deal with. Or the thing of where you walk into a jazz club and you say, "Oh yeah, I'm a musician." "Oh, are you a singer?" And I'm like, no. I mean, obviously there's nothing wrong with being a vocalist, but I think it's assumed always that if a woman walks into a jazz club, she has to be a singer. And it's, you know, there are female instrumentalists. It's a really frustrating one. I did a recording with a trio, not my trio, someone else's, and obviously there's only three of us there. They know exactly who everyone is, and I pulled up and said, "I'm all right to park here," or, "We're actually reserving that space for the drummer." And the leader of the band was like, "Yeah, this is the drummer." So it's not like we're in a big band, there's loads of us, you know. And I think it's just a constant thing, isn't it? And with sort of a lot of sexist sort of venue hosts, and it's just little things like that that add up, where if someone heard it, they'd think, "Oh, well, that's just an honest mistake," but it happens too often to be just a mistake and for me to accept it. And it does get a bit frustrating. I think you've probably, you know, I've had little things like that. Yeah. I
Yeah.
think it would be better. Yeah, I think people just need to be a little bit more open to the fact that there are female instrumentalists, and you know, this is what we do.
And they're good, like they're
Yeah, it
just,
shouldn't be a shock if they're good.
exactly, because even like,
Yeah.
for instance, if you sit and they don't think anything about you, let's suppose, and you're like amazing, and they're shocked, and they're like, Oh, and you're even like the attention is on you, just because it's different than where it might be something nice, okay, great, thank you, but it shouldn't be like that. It should be more normal, more natural, because we also have the capacity of so it,
100%. It should just be normalized.
It's a novelty, and then I'm like, well, I want to, obviously, if that is just for the pure playing, great, I want to be a novelty everywhere, but if it's just because, there it's a difference and you've never seen a female drummer or a musician like playing, odd instruments, quote unquote, then like it makes you feel, okay, so why are you treating me, looking at me like that? Like, is it because of, I blew your mind, because of my Max Roach solo, or just
Yeah,
because.
or are they just gonna come up to you for the 50th time and say, "Oh, I've never seen a woman play drums." It's like, well, you have now, and I have many other places.
Yeah, exactly. And it's funny though, because like you say, it's the small things. And I think that every single female drummer I know has a similar story, and in the past, because we didn't talk about that, I just accepted it and, whatever. Like, I even had another job because I'm like, I'm not gonna go through that. But when I saw this article, of people talking about it and saying, I'm like, oh, that is my story. I wasn't crazy. Like, it wasn't in my mind, because sometimes I'm like, oh, am I exaggerating? Like, it was maybe an honest mistake, like this and that. Maybe my country, they're a little bit like that. But no, it's everywhere and it happens
It
to
is everywhere.
absolutely everyone.
I think sometimes as well at uni it was a bit hard to kind of get in sort of certain ensembles because you weren't one of the lads and you weren't out sort of, I mean, I don't drink as well, so like I feel
Not
like
same,
because
mate.
I'm not one of the lads, I'm not out drinking, like, and it wasn't just with the students, it was with some of the tutors as well. They would kind of prioritize people for certain bands if they went out and drank with them, and
Right.
it
Oh,
was
that's
not,
awful.
yeah, it
Yeah.
was a bit frustrating.
Yeah. And I mean, it's always like the proving and the pressure is on you, like, of being perfect all the time, because as soon as you make a mistake, that's it, whereas, the same person, but being a male, like, they can just rock up even late, not prepared and stuff, and they will always have another chance, or nobody would really look into that. But as soon as there's just anything, like, it's like, oh no, we need someone else, it's not gonna work,
No,
sorry.
yeah, we need the man to do the job better,
Yeah,
yeah. And I
exactly.
think what's been like on my mind recently, I mean, I'm a complete advocate for women instrumentalists and vocalists and getting out there, So I'll always obviously post about women in jazz and all that amazing, work they do. It's really, really good that they're promoting all these fantastic female artists. But I found recently that I get a lot of sort of gig offers for specific to fill like quotas for female musicians on like festivals or venues. It's not like they're booking me and my band because they think we're good. They're booking it to fill a quota because they want and they feel like they need to show they've got female musicians on, which I also feel is a bit strange. I think we just kind of need to normalize the whole female musician thing and not make it like we're booking you because you're a woman, like we're booking you because you're good,
Yeah, exactly. Like ticking a box, like, there's nothing worse than just being there because they need to tick a box, whereas, like, I've been in situations where, they booked me for that as well, and were actually the best performance, in the night, and they're like, oh, we will have you again. That was amazing. So, like, why did you doubt, to begin with, and yeah, and I have two daughters, so that, one of them plays drums as well, and she's quite young, and obviously, I've been, and you as well, and we've been through all of this. And my whole mission is like, let's just stop women going through that. And I mean, it would always be something, but the more girls that pick up instruments like drums, trumpet, trombone, things like that, like, the more normal it will get. It will get normal because of us, not because we will change somebody's mindset. That's sort of my idea.
And I think with certain sort of music services and certain people, the whole thing would be, give the boys the trombones because it's a more of a masculine instrument, they can deal with them. And it's like, well, no, just, give everyone the choice of instruments. They don't have to reserve the cornets for the girls because they're really small lads. You know what I mean? And you find that they do that as well. They give the girls the flutes, they give the boys the bigger instruments. But really, at that age, there's not much of a size difference between anyone at all, so it doesn't make any difference.
And that is the whole thing, like, of assuming that something is, and it might be the case, I mean, boys might have a preference for instruments like that, but it's usually at that age where girls will feel a little bit, like, okay, I have to sort of adapt to the social norms that are around because they're more mature, than boys, and then they would just stick, not to cause any conflict, and then just go with peer pressure, And I always tell my daughter, no, man, I mean, you just go for it and do it, and you're the coolest, and she plays drums,
Yeah,
and I'm
good.
like, if somebody is like, no, you know what, my mom is a drummer, you suck, just get out of my way, like, not really, but I'm a good parent, but no, I always encourage them, to do it, not even, put like a line of dividing or comparing. And I think it is very true what you say, that the more that we make sort of a big deal out of it, as in, oh, we need to have three female acts, otherwise we won't fill a quota or whatever. It would even get worse, because then you're just gonna get whoever, and then obviously people are gonna say, oh, but they're not even good, and they're there and we're not, and it's just like, they're good, have them regardless, just trust them. They're not like, they didn't go to all these amazing schools, and got accepted just because, they had to fill a quota. Like, that doesn't work like that, so yeah, I hope, things are definitely looking a little bit better, but I do feel that it is because women are helping women, it's just like this exactly, women in
Oh, for
jazz.
sure, yeah, exactly.
So I think that, it is time now, and if we have no in the events that are happening or the popular events, then we set up our own events, and I'm sure then, because we're better organized, then they'll be asking for in, and we will give them in, so yeah,
Yeah,
anyway,
definitely.
thank you so much for being part of this. It was really lovely to talk to you today, and I hope it's not the last time, and I do hope that we can share gigs again, and we get to meet each other in person, or even for a little jam someday.
Yeah, no, that would be really good. Thank you. Yeah, what we need like a dual drummer gig.
Yes, exactly. I mean, yeah, obviously, people not they don't need one drummer, but they need multiple.
Yeah, big up the female drummers.
Exactly. So, what are your socials? Where can we find you? Just.
Yeah, so my Instagram is at Abby Finn Drums, and so is the Twitter as well, and the Facebook is Abby Finn Music. So I'm trying to think there, and my
Amazing, yeah,
website's just abbyfinn.com as well.
very straightforward. Amazing. And so your album in Pink Lane is out now,
It is indeed, yep.
also iTunes, Spotify, all the usual, as you said.
So actually, it's not on streaming. I
Okay,
didn't put it on streaming yet. It's just on Bandcamp at the moment. But
okay,
one
cool.
of the tunes, So It's True, our funky tune, is streaming at the moment.
Nice. And physical copies, we go to your website and all of that.
Yeah, absolutely.
Amazing. Oh, such a pleasure to have you. And yeah, well, all the best. And I hope all the gigs, and well, especially the gig tonight, they go very well. And hopefully I'll get to see you live soon.